皆さんこんばんは。That means good evening in Japanese. I'm not speaking in tongues. I don't do that. But I'm really thankful for this church and for the 29 years of support that you've given to me. Not only your financial support, but your prayer support. And it's really a blessing to be here tonight and to be able to share with you what God is doing in Japan. I think we'll go ahead and see the video presentation first, and then I'll say a few words after that. Japan is a beautiful, technologically advanced country with a long history and fascinating culture. It is located in the North Pacific, off the coast of Russia and the Korean Peninsula. It is slightly smaller than California and has four main islands with over 4,000 smaller islands. More than 70% of Japan consists of mountains, including more than 200 volcanoes. The average life expectancy at birth is the highest in the world at 83.7 years. There has been 8 straight years of population decline. It is projected to decrease one-third by 2050 and one-half by the end of the century. There are more elderly than there are children in Japan today. The Japanese people are materially well off, but spiritually very poor. 100,000 people disappear without a trace every year. Many to save their honor after a divorce, job loss, failure of an entrance exam, or debt. Japan has the 6th highest suicide rate in the world, and it is the leading cause of death for men aged 20 to 44. 11% wish they were never born, and 85% wonder why they even exist. There is a hopelessness in Japan that can only be fulfilled through knowing Jesus Christ. Most Japanese people practice both Shinto and Buddhism, but many claim to have no religion. Shinto is as old as the Japanese culture, while Buddhism was imported in the 6th century. Since then, the two religions have been coexisting relatively harmoniously and have even complemented each other to a certain degree. For example, charms are sold at both Shinto shrines and Buddhist temples. They contain a prayer and are made sacred through a ritual. They are carried on one's person or tied to a purse or backpack and are never opened in order to avoid losing their protective benefits. They are replaced once a year to ward off bad luck from the previous year. The proper way to dispose of one is to take it to a temple or shrine where it will be burned by the priest. You can take a charm that you purchased at a Shinto shrine and dispose of it at a Buddhist temple and vice versa. Many Japanese people don't understand the difference between Shinto and Buddhism, and religion doesn't play a big role in the lives of most people. However, they typically follow religious ceremonies at births, weddings, and funerals, may visit a shrine or temple on New Year's Day, and participate in local festivals which have a religious background. Japan has a population of over 127 million, and less than one-half of 1% are Christians. It is completely open to missionaries, and there are no restrictions on evangelism or preaching the gospel. Nevertheless, the people remain largely unresponsive to Christian teaching. Why is this? Japanese people make much of human relationships more than the truth, and one of the most important things is harmony. Because of this, they see leaving their traditions of Buddhism and Shinto as a family betrayal. They are afraid of disturbing relationships in their families or neighborhoods, even though they may know Christianity is the best. This, along with the materialism prevalent in Japan, makes it one of the largest unevangelized nations in the world. Missionary George King had the vision of starting a church in the city of Katsuragi. Katsuragi is a city and not a prefecture, and was established in October 2004 when the towns of Shinjo and Taino merged together and has a population of a little over 37,000. Yoshiko and Sachiko Mori and I started Katsuragi Babo Baptist Church, meeting in their home in July 2011. Katsuragi is a beautiful city and the people are wonderful, but it is a very difficult area in which to work. More than in other areas of Japan, the people are prone to keep the traditions of Shinto and Buddhism. There are several ministries the Lord has given me, and I would like to share some of them with you. I teach two English classes for adults. One class meets every Thursday afternoon. This class averages about 5 people who are very eager to learn English conversation. At the end of every class, we read the Bible together, and I teach a short lesson in Japanese. Sometimes questions are asked, which result in rather lengthy discussions. The other class is on Sunday afternoons at the church. After class, the students are asked to join our afternoon service at 3 o'clock. Several people have attended this class, and two ladies are coming faithfully. This past term, I began teaching a children's English class as well. We passed out flyers offering free lessons in return for teaching a short Bible lesson. The response wasn't as great as expected, but I started out teaching a brother and sister every Saturday morning. About a year later, another girl was added, and by word of mouth, little by little, the number increased to 9. I was also approached by a lady in my neighborhood asking if I could teach her son English. I began going to her home every week to teach Haruki. It was a joy to go and teach English and the Bible and to spend time talking with Mrs. Teraoka. There were also events we scheduled in order to get to know these children and their parents better. We had several outings, hiking, playing, and picnics. These were great times together, and a lot of special memories were made. It was also great to be able to plant the seed of the gospel, especially to the parents of the children. Another thing we did was have meetings at Christmas. Japanese celebrate Christmas, but not the birth of Christ. This was a great opportunity to teach them the true meaning of Christmas. We also held one-day vacation Bible schools for the children and their parents in August. The children always looked forward to this event, and we had a great time together. Through the ministry of teaching English, the gospel seed has been planted, and most of the children have been saved. Also, right before returning to the States for furlough, Mrs. Teraoka accepted Christ as her Savior. Please pray for her and for the other students to grow spiritually and for their church attendance. Another ministry is our bi-monthly children's meetings. We are able to rent a room at our city's history museum to hold these meetings. We have a good core group of about 15 children who have been saved and attend faithfully. They also invite their friends and are eager to learn more about the Bible. We always have a Bible lesson and do a craft or play games. The Lord has greatly blessed this ministry. Please pray for these children to be able to come to church. We also have a park ministry. This is something we are able to do freely in Japan. We are able to go to a local park and teach the Bible to children. There have been many children saved through this outreach as well. Another thing we are able to do freely is to put tracts and flyers about our church into mailboxes. Through doing this, we had some Filipino young men attend for a while. Mrs. Takeuchi came and accepted Christ as her Savior. Mr. Shoda and Mr. Bon were also among the few who came to church. There are also other meetings, such as summer camps, ladies and special meetings, and conferences, where there are many opportunities to serve the Lord. The Japan Baptist Bible Fellowship has a Bible college where young people are trained to serve the Lord. However, with the aging of many of the pastors, the need for full-time Christian workers is great. Would you consider taking the gospel to the needy people of Japan? Would you please continue to pray for the Japanese people and for the work in Katsunagi?
Well, I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea of the work in Japan. I would like to stand up here and say we had hundreds and hundreds of people saved. But that doesn't happen in Japan, because Japan is a very difficult country in which to work. As I presented in the DVD, they're very family-oriented and really concerned about relationships with people. And so if they become a Christian, they're afraid of breaking that relationship, and it's very hard for them to make that decision to accept Christ as their Savior. Most Japanese will listen to a presentation of the gospel. It's something most of them have never heard before, and so they're very interested, but when it comes to making it their own and believing it and trusting Christ, they don't want anything to do with it. But as far as being open to listening, they are willing to do that. So at least we are able to do that. We are able to, we can pass out flyers and tracts at the train stations. We can put them in people's mailboxes. So there are many ways that we can present the gospel. We see people on the street sometimes and we'll say, have you ever been to church? Or have you ever read the Bible? No. Or would you like to read the Bible? And sometimes we can hand out New Testaments to people. And there are little steps that we're making in the city that we are presently working in. We've been at it for about 7 years now. And it's going very slow, but making little baby steps and making progress. So really thankful for that. I would like to go a little bit more in detail about the lady that was saved right before I came home for furlough. Mrs. Taroka, she approached me one day, and when I first moved to the city where I'm presently working, the people weren't very open to me. As a matter of fact, in general, even Japanese people who move from other cities into that area, they're not very open to outsiders, even Japanese people. So I, as a foreigner, it was even greater because I was a foreigner and not Japanese, but I would greet people in my neighborhood, and they would just walk on or go their way and not even acknowledge that I was there. And so it was very difficult because I couldn't get people to respond to even if I would say good morning, ohayou gozaimasu, or konnichiwa, and greet them, and they would just go on their merry way. And so one day I greeted this lady. She was walking her dog, and she returned my greeting, which was unusual because most of the people didn't even do that when I first moved there. It's a little bit different now because I've been there for 7 years. But so she started talking to me, and little by little we got to know each other. I would see her every once in a while walking her dog, and there were times where we would be on the street talking for like 20, 30 minutes, just talking. And one day all of a sudden she just asked me, she said, would you teach my son English? And I said, oh, I said, I didn't know you had a son. She said, yeah, he's in second grade. And I said, well, I would love to teach him. And she said, well, I'll pay you money. And I said, I don't want any money. What I would like to do is teach the Bible instead of receiving money. And she said, well, let me think about it. And so I gave her my telephone number, and she said, I'll get in touch with you. Well, a week went by, and I thought, she's not going to have me teach her son. She doesn't want me teaching him the Bible. And it was about 10 days later, actually, that she called me. She said, I would like for you to teach my son English, and you can teach the Bible as well. Amen. And I said, okay. So I prayed and prayed, and she finally... And then she said, would you like to come to my house and teach him, or would you like him to go to your house? And I said, well, it doesn't really matter, but I would like to go to your house. And the reason I wanted to go there is because I wanted to have the opportunity to spend time with her as well. Because if she had just sent her son over to my house, I wouldn't have the contact with her. So I'd teach him for about 45 minutes. We'd do English, and then about 10 minutes or 15 minutes of Bible, and then we'd usually play a game after that. And so after the English lesson, his mother would come out and listen to the Bible story with her son. And she was open and willing to listen. And sometimes she would hear about the miracles of Christ, and she said, oh, that's wonderful. But she didn't really believe it. Oh, it's wonderful, but she didn't really believe it. And, you know, we would do stories in the Old Testament and in New Testament. And so she had a lot of Bible, but she just wasn't willing to believe it. Her son accepted Christ as his Savior, but she just was not willing to open her heart yet, and kept praying for her, going there every week. And even after our Bible time, I would spend sometimes 30 minutes or 45 minutes, or sometimes I'd spend an hour, and we would just talk about different things. And, you know, and so finally, I left on Thursday. I left on Thursday in Japan. She was saved the Saturday before I left. So I was thrilled that she was saved, but I was sad that it happened right before I came back to the States for furlough. So just pray for her that she'll be able to go to church. As far as I know, she's only been to church a couple times since then. It's really hard for Japanese people, once they get saved, to go to church because of the pressures that they face. As a matter of fact, they say when a person is saved, baptized in the church, faithfully attending, serving, tithing, takes about 10 years. Wow. So it's a very difficult process. It doesn't happen overnight. in Japan. So just pray for her spiritual growth, that she'll be able to go to church, and for her son also, that he'll be able to attend church. But I'm really thankful that the Lord opened that door. So there's little, like I said previously, there's little baby steps that we're making. Progress is being made. It's going slow. But do continue to pray for our new church in the city of Katsuragi in Japan. And I thank you again for your support and your prayers. And it's been good to be here tonight to be with y'all. ヨハネニロ福音書3章16節。神はその一人子を賜ったほどにこの世を愛してくださった。それは御子を信じる者が一人も滅びないで永遠の命を得るためである。